This is Billy Brim of the Voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, and with me today I have both of my daughters, Shelly Brim Oaks and Brenda. How you doing, Brenda?
I'm doing well, thank you.
And we've invited Brenda here because I want to speak about, we've been talking about seeing angels, hearing angels, about that realm of the unseen. It's all around us, really. And we're going to talk this week about how you can judge what is really from God and the kingdom of light and what might be from the kingdom of darkness. And Randy Laughlin, I told you, there's such a pull right now. The Harry Potter books, other books that are out right now, I don't know what the name of the movies are, and they are appealing to that unseen realm on the side of darkness and trying to draw young people. And so there is an unseen realm, and it's in the Bible, and it's angels, and it's heroic figures, it's Gabriel, and it's God's own, it's music. Mm-hmm. Often we hear music with this in the realm of the angelic. I had an interesting thing happen this past week. Years ago, and I've told this story many, many times, about 1980, 1981, I had gone to Brother Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting in the summer. One full week of meetings, morning, noon, and night. Then I got up and caught a very early plane to go to speak at a camp meeting in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I do not remember who the pastor was. It was a very small meeting, maybe 50 to 100 people as I remember it. Someone else said it was 30 to 50. But I had gone to the camp meetings all week, and so I got up very early on Saturday morning, caught a 7 o'clock flight, got into Minneapolis about 11, and I said to the Lord, I'm going to rest and take a nap until 3. And at 3 o'clock, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to get ready for the meeting tonight. While I was asleep, I had a vision. The Bible speaks of night visions. And in the night vision, I saw that there was going to be a great wedding. And there was much ado about this wedding, much activity. I was seated in an armchair, very relaxed, with my leg up over one arm, watching everything going along. I could sense the presence of the bride. I could sense the presence of the groom. And I was taking it in, and it was just ecstasy. Then I saw over to my left a door. That door opened, and someone said, "Please come help us get ready for the wedding." I said, "You do your part, I'll do mine." I thought they were cooking. Then I went back to watching the wedding. They came to the door again, crying, "Please come help us get ready for the wedding." "No, I'm doing my part, you do your part." They came the third time. I was translated back to that room where they were preparing, I thought, the food. But they were not. They were unwrapping gifts. They were unwrapping the gifts of the bride. I thought that was terrible that they were doing such a thing, but I looked to see what the bride was receiving. Each gift was the size of it was boxed in a size that could have held a man inside that box, a person-sized box. There was a bow on the top. These people were unwrapping those gifts. And I thought, well, I'll see what the bride is receiving. Each gift, as the box fell down and opened, was an article of clothing. They took it out, they hung it on a hanger, put it on a rack, and the clothing was colored green, yellow, brown, earth tones. Then I woke up. When I woke up, I could still see the vision as it went on, and I heard the Holy Spirit interpret it to me. He said, "Those people behind that door are prayers. They are getting ready for the wedding. The gifts are my gifts to the bride. The minister gifts, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, and the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, what you call the gifts of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "You have never seen these operate and function the way they are designed to function. So far in their functioning, they have aided the church in her earth walk. But shortly before Jesus comes, the church will walk in its walk of glory, and there are glorious garments and gifts that are to be revealed. The prayers, these people in the room here are prayers, and they have to unwrap the gifts. I want you to help the prayers. So the vision was over. I went down that night to the camp meeting, and there was a trumpet player. I did not know him. He was marvelous. Then there came a word of the Lord to me. There's one of those gifts that's going to clothe the bride in her glory walk. So I stood when it was time to preach and gave a word of the Lord to that young trumpet player, who was Phil Driscoll. He had just come out of the world. And I said to him, "You make music that other men cannot make, because your music comes from heaven. And it is a gift to my church. It is a gift to my bride to adorn her for the glory, walk of glory. It contains color and light as well as music, and it comes from heaven." So later on, I found out who Phil Driscoll was and that he had just come out of the world at that time. My daughter Shelley and I went to Cleveland, Tennessee, where his mother lived. She heard me tell that story at Norville Hayes Bible School. And Ruth Driscoll said, "I want to take you and Shelley out to lunch." She took us out. She never had told anybody this story, I guess, except her family. And she said, didn't want anybody to hear her. So she arranged for a little private room for us to sit in. We sat in there and she told us how that when she and her husband were young ministers, called of God, they took all their money and bought a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, an old Methodist church. They lived in the basement of the church and had services upstairs. She was pregnant with Phil. She heard music upstairs, and she followed that music up to the church itself, where there were stained glass windows. And light was coming through the stained glass windows, and color and music. She told me it was not the music of a trumpet. It was the music of heaven. It was instruments she could not identify. And the music and the light and the color came through those windows into her belly, into her womb, where she was carrying this child, Phil. And so Phil Driscoll and I have had a really close relationship. Ruth, his mother, was a prayer, and she's since gone on to be with the Lord. Well, we recently had here at Prayer Mountain our autumn assembly of prayer. Phil Driscoll came, and he was a great part of that assembly. He whispered in my ear, "Billy, my daughter-in-law has the same anointing of my mother, Ruth, who's gone on to heaven. And she has this prayer assignment. She's also a minister, and she loves you. And there's no one she would rather ordain her to the ministry than you." So I said, "Okay, Phil, come out. You and your family take the cabins, and we'll do it at our Sunday afternoon prayer. That's kind of a private time when it's just our prayers together. And it can be special. We can move in the Spirit." And so they came. And indeed, it was special, and we were moving in the Spirit. By the way, her name is Amber. And the Holy Ghost moved, the Holy Spirit moved. We were all lifted up in the glory of it, and it was magnificent. Later on that week, I was going to Springfield. We live in Branson, Missouri, which is an hour or so from Springfield. And I stopped by the high school and picked up my granddaughter, and my daughter Brenda was with me. And we were a little early, so we stopped to eat at Lambert's, home of the Throde Rolls. And I saw a sign that behind Lambert's there was a store, an Avon store. Well, I like the product Skin So Soft, and I don't have an Avon lady. And I'd been looking to get some. They had it on sale for half price. Had to be the Lord. While I was in that store, my daughter Brenda stepped into the store next door, which is named Designer's Overstock. We walked in, and the lady knew my voice. She was a Christian. I said, "We don't have time. We've got to get to a ball game, but tomorrow I'll come back and bring Brent my..." We saw some little red boots, little red Christmas boots. And so I said, "I'll bring Shelley back tomorrow." What, honey?
She recognized you.
Yeah, she recognized me. She had seen me. And so we came back the next day. And sure enough, Shelley did like those little red boots. But today, her husband was in the store. And when he saw me, tears came down his cheeks. He said, more than 25 years ago or so, he said, I was in a meeting in the north. And he said, you were there and you made a call. It was a small little meeting. You made a call for people to be born again. No one came. And then you said, perhaps someone is here. I know someone should come. But maybe you're here and you should come because you're saved, but you have not yet been filled with the Spirit. He said, that was me, but I didn't know anything much. I'd only been barely saved, and I was fighting it. And he said, I stuck up my hand fast and pulled it back down. And you said, I saw that hand. And he said, I went to the front, and I said, I'm not going to fake anything. But he said, as soon as you prayed for me, something hit me, and I started just going off like a fountain. He didn't say fountain, but he meant, you know, profusely. And so I said, oh, brother, come over to Prayer Mountain. Join us. I saw his spirit was very good. I said, come over and join us on Sunday afternoons. We have a wonderful time of prayer. And we have special times. Last week, for instance, Phil Driscoll came. He said, Phil Driscoll? He said, Phil Driscoll was at that meeting in Minnesota when you prayed for me. I said, what? And I figured out he was in that same meeting where I had the vision and met Phil Driscoll. And there I was just a few days after having Phil Driscoll out at Prayer Mountain meeting him. He said, I wondered, how can this little meeting, they don't have but about 30 to 50 people, how can they afford such a trumpet player? And then he said, I heard a choir, a 300 to 500 voice choir. And he started crying when he told this to Shelley and me. And he said they were coming from behind us and it seemed like they were approaching. You know, like a choir would be behind you and they would march down. And he said, I turned around to look at them and there was no one there. What he heard was an angelic, heavenly choir coming down that aisle. He was a witness to Phil's. And he said, I remember Phil repenting that day. You know, he had just come out of the world and he was repenting. But this man heard in another realm. We're talking about angels. We're talking about seeing them. But whether it's seeing or hearing, it is a manifestation of this spiritual gift, the discerning of spirits, that we see in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. The discerning of spirits is seeing into or hearing into that realm. And I'm going to have my daughters tell you about some things they've heard in that realm tomorrow. And this is Billy Brim inviting you to be with us tomorrow and inviting you to come and be with us at our eschatology school in April, right out here at Prayer Mountain, when we're going to go into the book of Daniel. This will be so exciting in these last days. Now, you can get a free copy of our The Glory Watch magazine, which is devoted this month to Are They Not Ministering Spirits? Speaking of the angels. And we have some of the stories that we told you last week, accounts from our own family that we can vouch for are right here in this issue. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom.